We're going to preach on the greatest subject in the Bible. Now don't awe too much, because on the subject of love, you can preach it several different ways. Yes. And an evangelist especially, I'm not bragging when I say this, but we deal with the sinners and the souls a lot, and you can go that way. You can go what I preached this morning, then you can also go from us to the Lord in our love to Him. And that's what I want to talk about this afternoon. So the best thing you can do for me this afternoon is pray. All right, let's open in Matthew 24 and 12, please. Matthew 24 and 12. Well, let's start at the, I guess, 11th verse, 24 and 11. And many false prophets shall rise, shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand him. Then let him which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Now it says here in the 12th verse, it says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now I hate to say this, but I've watched this happen. I've watched people that have lived for the Lord, even preachers. Again, I hate to say some of this, but I'm just telling you the truth. And they allowed things to take place, and they didn't do what they should do, and eventually the things begin to wax them back and back till they give up. And they went back. That is a shame. But it said, because iniquity shall abound. Now then, that also applies, the bottom line, that applies to our time. Iniquity is on the bound like I've never seen it. And it is doing a lot of damage to this country in great, great deals. A lot of people getting killed. I read a deal, I didn't see so much of it, but I read a deal the other day of an older gentleman in a car, and 30 young people, most of them, I think all of them maybe have bicycles, and I don't know what caused them to go after this older man, but they went after him. And instead of staying in his car, he got out of the car, and they really got him then. Used to, you wouldn't hear stuff like that. There's things that are happening today that absolutely surprise me in a way. But it's because iniquity, because the devil, because of sin, because of corruption, all these things have gotten so prominent and so powerful that it's causing things to happen that used to wouldn't happen. And today, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. How many people do you know that's happened to? I've seen people get saved and live saved a little while and then go back. The pull was too strong for them. But today, that may be true, but let's go to Mark 12 and 27 now. Mark 12 and 27. And we're going to read the antidote for this. And he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. but the God of the living, ye therefore do greatly err. And one of the scribes, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? What is the first commandment? What's the main thing? And Jesus answered him, and the first of all the commandments, the first now, is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all, A-L-L, I'm going to capitalize it, thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said of the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other than he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Okay. If a marriage is going to succeed, there has to be a deep love. Because it's not always going to be the most smooth sailing. And you've got to have love to cover that. All right, the Lord is to be number one in our lives. There ain't no second place with God, or third place, or fourth place. It's got to be number one. He's got to be the one and only in our lives. It will not work any other way, because the devil knows that if you begin to allow iniquity or even little bitty thing, maybe not sin so much, but little things to draw you away from the things of God, he knows that he's got a bigger area to get you in. So consequently, the Lord said, you've got to love me with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Everything's got to be given to God. Everything's got to be totally given, and our love, adoration to him has got to be there. And then it said there, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you combine these two together, that right there will care for every problem that ever exists. It would take care of all the fighting and the fussing and the wars and the wife and husband troubles, the parents and the children troubles on the job. To love our neighbor as ourselves, to love God with our whole heart, that will take care of everything. This world would almost be a heaven on earth. Yes. If that would be the way it is. But it's not that way. Why? I don't totally know. Well, I do too. A lot of it's because of the devil and sin and corruption's gotten so bad. But he said, love me. He said, thou shalt love. Thou shalt. Shall and shalt is an absolute. Yes. It's something positive. So he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So God loved us. Yes. He come down. He made the plan. But for it to work, when he gets us saved, he's got to have all of that love back for it to work right. That way the workings together comes together and locks together, and it will work in such a way that it'll even amaze you. So love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. All right, let's look at the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, 12th verse. And this is some more almost like that reading. 10th chapter and 12th verse of Deuteronomy. And I stayed in the mount. According to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. And the Lord said to me, arise, take thy journey before thy people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. And now, Israel, what did the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and keep the commandments. Now this is Old Testament, but he was laying it down straight here because they were just wobbling back and forth and doing things they shouldn't do. And to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God, and the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord hath a delight in thy fathers to love them and to choose their seed after them, even you above all people, it is as it is this day. Now he said, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? So this love situation that he's put in the New Testament was also in the Old. And he put it down pretty tight. He said, what doth the Lord require of thee? Why are you requiring this but to fear the Lord? We must fear the Lord. That's another message, several messages. To walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. So again, he's wanting us to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Now, let's see, Joshua, I believe it is here, 22:5. Let's see what this says. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, thy servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So I said, charged you. Again, he's laying down strong groundwork. He knows this is the only way that it will work. That's the only way it's going to work today, is for you and I to love him with all. When you have a real burning love for a companion, you're going to do all you can do to help them, bless them or whatever. And that's what the Lord, since we're married to him, that's what he wants his wife to do, so to speak. He wants us to love him with so much that we'd be willing to do anything he would ask us to do. Anything. There had been times that the Lord has told me things, asked me to do things. And I'll admit sometimes but I do them. I would do them because I love the Lord. And that's what he's wanting us to do, all of us. This is not just for the preachers. It's not just for the deacons. It's not just for the trustees. It's not just for the Sunday school teachers or any worker in the gospel work. It's for every one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, no matter what race, creed, color, we're to all do the same thing. There's no breaking down. It's down to the bat. I want you to love me with all your heart. Love with all your heart. All right, now then, let's go to John 14:15. Now then, this ties right into the Old Testament. 14:15 of St. John said, if you love me, keep my commandments. All right, then go down to the 21st verse. Let's go to 20. And that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth me, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I love him and manifest myself to him. And said in 23rd, Jesus answered and said unto him, well, let's read what Judas. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, but Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now then, he says here, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now then, the way God knows that you and I love and appreciate him is to do what he says in his word. Now then, there's people that get saved and I'm not one to push people. I allow the Lord to work. I advise it. I've known of people that have gone to Monarch and wasn't dressed just like we dress. And somebody come up, well, you need to put this on, you need to do that, you need to do this. I know of people that have gone away and never come back. I know of one minister that got offended on the same thing. His was over a tie business, and he left. But he did come back. And he was a blessing to the Church of God for a number of years. That's a miracle. So consequently, I think it's wise to allow the Holy Ghost to have some room. To allow the Lord to have room. Let him measure people up. Our duty is to love them. Now that's another side. It's another part of love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Pour that love out to them. Let them know you love them, you appreciate them, you want them in meeting and so forth. And let the Lord tell them what to do. I think that's wise counsel. If you love me, keep my commandments. That helps the Lord to know that we love him. And he goes on down here then. And he said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth me them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Now then, we want the love to come back to us. They want it to flow to them. We want it to flow that. Shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Listen, today just like sitting in heavenly places, there's nothing more beautiful than the manifestation of the Spirit of God to our soul. For him to open things up, whether it be the Bible, whether it be a song, whether it be an old time something that God has just for you and I maybe, and he opens that up to us and reveals it to us, manifests it. That is the most beautiful thing. You can't get much better than that right there. Brother Sammons one time told the Lord, he said, I would like a greater burden for souls. He said, if you could do something to give me a greater burden. Well, he did. He gave him a vision. And in this vision was a broad road. At the end of this broad road was a big open chasm. And there was people on this road going down to that chasm, and they were falling in, and he could hear the whales and the screams of the lost. He was going down the side of the road, and he was going like this, stop, stop, turn around, don't do it. He was doing everything he could to stop them, but they were still going, partly because the crowd behind them was shoving them, and they couldn't stop. Listen, folks, today, that was given. I've never heard of another minister having a vision like that. I've had two visions in my ministry, but I've never had something like that. And so consequently, that's a manifestation of the Spirit to you and I. He can open up the Word of God. Somebody said, well, I've read that scripture before. Listen, I've read the Bible through. I've read some of these scriptures probably hundreds of times. And ever so often, the Lord come across and he opens up something new. He manifests to my heart that we will get if we love him with our whole heart, because he can trust us. Maybe it's something special out of that scripture that he wants just for us, and knows that we can help others with it or so forth, and he just gives it to us and blesses us. Listen, folks, that's wonderful. Manifestation of the Spirit to our heart. Oh, he wants to do that. He wants to open that up to us. And then he said, 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Live with us. He that loveth me keepeth my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Oh, thank the Lord. The Lord opening up and revealing to you and I what he wants us. I had some good teachers in school. You all have any good teachers in school? I had some good ones. But this one right here, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, they far exceed anything I've ever had. You know why? Because they can get down and get it to you when nobody else can. There is preachers sometimes preach things in the pulpit, and maybe I didn't catch them at first, but the Lord come along, and me and the Bible and the Lord got together, and he helped me understand what that minister's getting at. Brother Ed used to preach over my head a lot when I was young. He don't do that much anymore, because I've deepened down enough, I can get what he's getting at. And I appreciate that. That's the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost in you, because of the love connection, helps us to get what we need. That's what he wants us to have. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 13 and 3. I'm going to shift gears here, and I'm going to go a little different direction. But it'll still be on love. I'm not saying I'm getting out of love, but this is going to be something on our part here. It said 13:3 of the good book of Deuteronomy. It said, "And thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, keep his commandments, obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cling unto him." Now then, saints, would the Lord prove our love? Anybody think he wouldn't prove your love? The Lord is going to prove our love. He's going to test us and try us. He wants to know that we really mean, "Oh Lord, I love you with all of my heart." Well, he's going to try us out. How many have ever been tried? You've been tried, the Lord's you have. Well, this ain't going to be the first time. If you love God, you're going to have it more than one time. You're going to have it a lot. And so he says here that thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now then, who would be somebody in the Bible that God proved? A father and a son. Name was Abraham and Isaac. You remember what happened? The Lord told him, "I want you to go up in the mountain, take your son, take wood and so forth, and I want you to sacrifice him." Now, this was his only son, folks. Just like God, this is kind of a connection between God and Jesus and Abraham and Isaac. The bottom line is, he had one son. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be a little bit hard. Did it take Abraham 3 months to decide to do it? Did he do it very quickly? Yes. He done it very quickly. He took and the Lord told him, and he went right away and started putting everything together, got the animals and got some people to help him, and they went. Isaac didn't know what Dad was going to do. But Dad had his heart set on God. And he had his heart set on blessing him, so to speak, being proved, but I'm going to do what you want me to do, Lord. And he went up there, and he made the place there to the sacrifice, and got it all set in place. If I remember right, he laid the son on there and tied him down, I believe. And then he was getting ready to bring the knife down on him when the Lord said, "Look behind you," I believe it was. In other words, there was a ram in the bush. A ram in the bush. Now the blessing again of the whole thing is Abraham, his attitude and his love was great for God, and he done it. Listen, folks, today, sometimes the Lord's going to ask us to do something, and he needs it done right now. He don't want us to wait 2 weeks. I know a case in a certain city where a sister minister was going home, and the Lord told her, said, "I want you to go by the hospital." "Well, Lord, I don't know anybody in the hospital right now." He said, "I want you to go by the hospital." She didn't do it. She went on home. Now, this is before this. This is before this, way before cell phones. And she said, "I went home, and I got a call in a little bit, and somebody that I knew was in the hospital and had just died, and I should have been there." She regretted that for years. Listen, folks, we can regret some things because we don't do them. That soul slipped out and went out into eternity, and I don't think they were saved. That's what grievous about it. I know she would have had some time maybe to deal with them if she'd done it immediately. Listen, the Lord wants immediate action at time. Christ had to do some things immediately. God's had to do some things immediately. The apostles did. The prophets did. All of these had to be. And you and I have got to do. Sometimes our companion might say, oh, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry, but I've got to do this now. This has got to be done now. This call's got to be made. I've got to go visit this person. I've got to do this or that. Whatever it might be. God proving us. But that person needs help. And God knows their heart, and He knows how much help they need. He knows who to call. He knows who to send. He knows how to do everything. But the bottom line is for us to know the voice of God and to love Him enough, whereby when He says go, we go.
Amen.
Go do it. I beg you to do it, to love Him enough to do it. If the wife was to ask you to take the trash out, and we have a dumpster that we put it in, then we roll it out front, and the people come and dump it and put it back down, and we pull it back to the house. If Molly was to ask me, said, well, dear, I need you to take the trash out, put it in the dumpster, and then I need you to roll it out to the road. And if I said, no, I don't want to do that, she'd wonder just how much I loved her. Now then, the Lord says, I need you to go down the street, and I need you to hand this person a tract. At house number so-and-so, give them a tract. I know of a situation of a minister's wife and another couple in the congregation. They lived in the same community together, the same subdivision. And the preacher and his wife was up here on this street. The others were about two streets back. Well, the minister's wife felt a definite lead to go visit this sister. So she goes back there. I think she called her first. And she said, you going to be home? Yes, yes, come on back here and be with me. So she did. They chatted, they prayed, they talked and so forth. And then when the minister's wife got back to the house, the sister called her and said, you don't know what a blessing you were. You don't know how much you've done for me. Listen, folks, that's a blessing in itself, knowing that we were at the right place at the right time doing what God wanted us to do. That's love. That's love for the minister's wife to the sister in the congregation, and then that's love between us and God, and God and us. Amen. So, Lord, help us to move as dictated by the Spirit of God.
Yep.
Abraham did that. All right, let's go to John 21, St. John 21, and we're going to deal on Peter's life a little bit there. You know where I'm headed, probably. About 15. 21:15 of John. It said, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now then, why did Christ pin Peter down? Because Peter denied the Lord. Did the Lord really know that Peter loved him after he was denied? Well, he probably did, but the bottom line, he was putting his feet to the fire here. He was checking his heart out, so to speak. And he tells him, I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to feed my sheep. In other words, Peter, I want you to preach for me, and I want you to do it. All right, what happened on the day of Pentecost? Peter was one of the firebrands to come out of that, was he not? He just got right on the program and started telling the truth and so forth, and he went all the way the rest of his ministry doing that. So he lived up and done exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. He fed the people. He challenged the people. He served the people. The Lord used him in a mighty way. But he done it because Peter come out of that denial and rejection business. And he come down to the place that when he saw what he had done and he wept bitterly and the Lord restored him, he was a great unit, a great person used by God. All right, now then, what does it says here in the now, let's see, what scripture is it? So when, back to 15, they had died, Jesus said then to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? Lovest thou more than these? He said to them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. What are these? What are the these that the Lord is talking about here? What about a companion? Are you supposed to love the Lord more than your wife or your husband? Yes. He's got to be number one. If he's not, there can be problems. Because that love for that companion can be very strong if the Lord does not have his total love. Then that companion pull could keep a person from doing what they ought to do. Just like Peter. He said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. Well, the Lord knew he was pinning him down tight, but he wanted to be sure he got the message. Are you going to do what I want you to do? Are you going to live what I want you to live? What about children? Could the children be some of these? Yeah. There's been a lot of times that children have hindered their parents. So Lord, help us that we love him more than our wives or husbands, more than our children. What about family? What about brothers or sisters or moms or dads or whatever? Could that be a hindrance to it? Yeah. He wants our love to be deep enough that we will go ahead and do what he wants us to do. There was a preacher one time. This had been a number of years ago. I did know this brother. Worked with him some, a little bit, not a whole lot. But I loved him and appreciated him. It was one of his daughters that took me under her wing when I got saved at Guthrie, really before that. And she was introducing me to the other young people. She was a leader in getting me connected in, so to speak. And I've never forgot that. She's still alive today. She's a little older than I am. But the bottom line is, her daddy, he was holding a revival meeting. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to go preach on the street corner down there. Hey, you want me to preach on street corner? Yeah. Lord, I don't have no singers. I don't have nobody to back me up. I don't have anything. He said, I want you to go. Well, he got down at the altar and he prayed. And he prayed till he got the victory. Now, that's what you're going to have to do sometimes. The Lord's going to give you some directions or something. You may have to pray till you can do what he wants you to do. There's no shame in that. As long as you'll do what he's asking you to do. So he went out and he went down and he done it. He done what the Lord asked him to do and the Lord blessed him. He didn't have no backup at all. Now that'd be tough. Brother Herschel Hargrave's done a lot of street work. And others have done street work. But the bottom line is, this was before Brother Herschel. This is before some of the rest of us by far. I didn't know this man, but this was before I was ever saved. And he done it. He done it. I told some young people that there was a preacher one time that the Lord told him, I said, I want you to go to a certain chapel. Well, okay. So he went down there. And the Lord gave him a message. And he went in the building and there was not one soul in that building. And he looked all around and he said, but Lord, there's nobody here. He said, I want you to preach that message. Well, Lord, there's nobody here. I want you to preach that message. You've got to go by the leadings oversight sometimes. You've got to go by the leadings more than our intellectual connections or our ideas sometimes. So he got up and he preached the message. He walked out of the building, went his way, and about 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, whatever it was, he was at a meeting. And a man come up to him and he said, are you the one that preached in certain chapel and certain? He said, yeah. He said, I was there. He said, you never knew I was there. I was hiding. But he said, brother, I got saved after you preached that message. Amen. Now, folks, that's something, but that's God. And that's our love for the Lord will help us to do what seems a little bit crazy. I told them young ladies, I said, a preacher likes a full building. Or not a full building, but likes to preach to people. I preach to one person on the side of a mountain. I preach to two people, I preach to three people, and I preach to hundreds of people. But the bottom line is, we do what the Lord wants us to do at the time He wants us to do it, and then we'll be a blessing wherever we go. And that's what the Lord wants. And so, Peter, now you're going to do it? You let the, remember what you did? Yeah, I don't want to think about that, Lord. So family can hinder us. Money. Woo! Money hinder us? Could that be one of those things? Yeah. It would hinder me getting saved. But since I've got saved and got all consecrated, it's not. I'm a tightwad sometimes. I'll agree to that. Molly agree to that. I can be a little bit tight. But I feel I have to be able to make things balance out. This is the Lord's money. I'm trying to get it all to balance out where I can pay all the bills. And might not want to go out and have that steak dinner. Or even fried chicken. That was so good today. Thank you all. It was a fine meal. Good desserts too. And I thank you. Good drink. Everything was perfect. So the Lord wants us to be right stewards over the money, but He does not want the money to hinder us doing what He wants us to do. He may want us to give some money sometimes to the work of the Lord and say, well, I want you to give to the Honduras work or to Africa work or whatever. Or I want you to give some money to a certain minister or to a certain congregation or whatever, or a certain family. There had been times that people did not have any idea what the minister was in need of, what the congregation was in need of, or whatever, and the Lord give. One minister I know that worked with for quite a while, loved him dearly, and we got along well, and the Lord told another brother that I knew and went to their place quite a few times and preached to them, helped preach his funeral. And the Lord spoke to him and he said, I want you to give brother so-and-so that was at this meeting all day, kind of like this all-day meeting, best I remember. He said, I want you to give him $20. Now, this had been years ago when $20 were $20. Not now. Maybe it's that tall instead of that tall. So he said, but Lord, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. He said, I want you to give him $20. So he did. That preacher, I think he told me, had been praying nearly all night because he needed that money. He had no idea where it's going to come from. Well, this brother, they knew each other. They were good friends, just like me and both of them were. We were all good friends together. The brother gave him the money. And then he went back home and the Lord took care of all the places that he would have needed the money. He took care of that. Listen, God's big enough to help us with our money. He's big enough. I know another case where that a minister had come to a small congregation and was holding a revival. And the Lord told this one of the congregation members, who I knew quite well, he told him, he said, I want you to give this much money in the meeting. I think it was $5, $10. It wasn't a lot of money. But the bottom line was he had bought a horse on credit and he was paying like we would a car or something. And he was paying on that horse. He said, but Lord, I got to pay the bill, the loan. He said, I want you to give that money. He didn't do it. After the meeting was over with, he went out the next morning to the barn and the horse was dead. Now listen, folks, God, if we don't do what He wants us to do, if we don't have enough love to do that, He can chastise us. That was a pretty hard lick right there. This was a young man. This was a very intelligent man. This man grew to be quite old. I was in his home many times, preached to him many times, and he learned his lesson. He learned his lesson. Listen, don't let the Lord make us learn our lesson. Love Him and do what He wants us to do. What about a vehicle? Could a vehicle be one of these things that could hinder us? Yeah. It could be. A job. Now, there's something that could really get in the way. But again, you've got to love the Lord enough and keep the job center-eyed where that they know what you, who you are, what you do, and so forth, and you ask to get off to go to a meeting or whatever, and if there's any way possible, they'll get it to you.
That's right.
You know, and keep that all in the right perspective. What about a business? I know of a brother that had a business. He thought, well, I want to get into a different business. So he sold that business. And he told me, he said, Brother Carl, he said, I thought I had prayed it through, had everything just where it be, that the business I thought that he was showing me to get into was what I was supposed to do. But he missed it. And he said, I got out of one business because I thought it was requiring too much of my time so I could give more time to the Lord. Now, what he was doing was fair. Sounded real good. But he said, what I got into took more time than less time. Again, in our leadings, in our love, we want to be sure, Lord, I don't want to make a mistake. I want to be where you want me to be. Do what you want me to be. Lord, help me to know I'm doing the right things. A farm. Can a farm be a hindrance? Yeah, a farm can be a hindrance. My first wife's family were farmers. My second wife's dad owned several hundred acres. He was a farmer. I never knew him, but I knew where the land was. And he helped a lot of people. And the Gaines family and the Sorrell family and stuff, they were all, a lot of them were farmers back there in Thayer at Myrtle and all through there. And they tried, as best I know, they tried to keep it everything legal and fair with the Lord, and it worked quite well. A home. Could a home? Yeah, a home could keep you from doing what the Lord wants you to do. It could hinder our love. Could hinder our love. A wrong relationship. Now this right here with young people, this can be one of the most dangerous things. Yeah. Young people, be extremely careful when you're thinking about marrying somebody. And number one, they need to be saved. Number two, they need to be sanctified. Number three, they need to be Church of God. You don't want anybody that you're being involved with that's outside the church and not saved and sanctified. You want them all in right with you. A person that maybe you knew. I knew quite, saved quite a while. I was there when she got saved. I was there when she got sanctified. I baptized her. I had worked with her for a number of years before I ever married her. Her and my first wife were just like that. They had a good relationship. I was on a job one time, and I tried to get a hold of Rebecca, which was pastoring in South Carolina, and I called two or three of the congregation. Do you know where the wife is? No. So finally I called and left a message on the answer machine. I said, well, dear, I said, I'm worried about you. I said, I want you to call me. I don't care what time it is. When you get in, give me a call. Well, I just got laid down, wasn't asleep, and phone rang. I picked it up, and we talked a little bit. I said, where you been? What you been doing? She said, I've been your assistant pastor. Oh? Said, I've been down working and praying with Sister Molly. So that's the relationship they had. But the bottom line is, you want to have a perfect, above-board, God, Bible-centered relationship if you're going to live for God and love Him, because a companion can hinder you greatly. They can hinder you greatly. So if they're not on board, you're going to have problems, and the Lord's going to be trying to get you maybe to do something or to say something or whatever, and you're going, and the wife's going, no, you can't do that. Or the husband, is particularly, he's the head of the house. No, you can't do that. So you want everything to be on the right plane, exactly where God wants it. You want them saved and sanctified, baptized, satisfied. You want them in a place, excuse me, you want them in a place where they're working with you. Is that all right? All right. So that's some of the thieves here. Love us some more than these. He said to them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, feed my sheep. All right, remember the vision the Lord gave Peter about the clean and the unclean? And then what happened after that? Well, it wasn't it Cornelius? The Lord had showed him, talked to him. He told him, you send your men and have that man come. And Peter, because of everything that God had done, he was in the right place at the right time and done exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. He didn't fail him at all. He went over there, and the Lord blessed and worked in that work. So thank the Lord. That Lord, just help us to do biblically. It all works together. Do biblically what the Lord would have you to do, and then you'll be in a place where it's easier with our love to do exactly what the Lord wants. All right, let's finish up in Revelation 2 and 4, Revelation. Nevertheless, I am somewhat against thee. Now he's talking to a congregation here. Because thou hast left, thy first love. First love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He said here, nevertheless. Well, it goes on. Let's read 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Now that sounds like a pretty good congregation. Sound like they just ride on it. But then he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Yeah. I got something here. Now listen, folks, God is able to see and know anything about anybody in every way he needs to know it. Yeah. You're not going to hide anything. He can see right down in the heart, and he knows whether we're right where we ought to be or whether we're not. So he's saying here, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, does it matter if we have a first love or we don't? Yeah. Have you seen people that got saved and you all call a work day? And man, they're just right there. They're helping the pastor and the deacons and the trustee. They're doing this, that, and the other. You just ask and you'll receive, so to speak. They're right at it. But they go for a while, and then they begin to seem like kind of cool down a little bit. You ever seen that? And maybe they were the first to the chapel on every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Now then they're doing good if they get there by service time. Well, when I mean service time, well, yeah, they're not early at all. They just get there, baby, just barely in time. I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. All right, young brethren and sisters. When you fall in love with a young lady or a young man and have that real fervent first love, I could be wrong, but I think that companion sure like you to keep that. Because if you don't, that's going to cause problems too. That companion may not just get what you would like her to have or him have. Well, it's the same way with the Lord. There's got to be, because thou hast left thy first love. All right, if I come up here, I lay a $100 bill on the altar, and I walk off, I know that I left it. Now, if I lose that $100 bill out somewhere, and I don't know where I lost it, that's different. But in other words, this is knowing that you have walked away from something that you had. Because thou hast left thy first love. Not lost it. It said left it. So Lord, help you and I. We don't want the Lord saying, hey child, hey now, you've left thy first love. That first love will help you to do everything the Lord wants you to do. And we can keep that first love warmed up and fired up by doing what? Being in meeting? Well, let's get out every day. Reading and praying? studying, maybe reading good books from the print shop. Not this past November, but a year ago, I nearly killed myself by accident. And I had bursitis in this arm, and this arm was giving me a lot of trouble. Hand got swelling, arm got to swelling. And I had a sister-in-law that we have a good relationship. And she told Molly, she said, now Molly, she said, give him some turmeric. Said, turmeric is good. It's an anti-inflammatory. And said, that should help him. Molly said, I got some. All right. The only problem was it was out of date. But I looked it over and I thought, well, this is just a spice. I don't think a spice would be out of date, so to speak. So I took them. 1,000 milligrams every tablet. I took too many of them too quick. I thought two's better than one, three's better than two. And I got down to about, what was it, seven in about 3 days, maybe it was. All of a sudden, things started happening to my body. So I called Brother Ed, and I talked to him about it. He said, will you give me a little bit? And he said, can you give me a picture, shoot me a picture off your phone with a bottle? Yeah. So I'd done that, and he took it, and he knew somebody that was a doctor. And he called this doctor, and he talked to him, and he said, let me tell you something, brother. He said, one more tablet, and you all have been having a funeral. And Brother Ed was totally shot. And when he told me, I was totally shot too, but I knew what. I had a rash from basically, somewhere in here I had a rash all the way down the bottom of my feet. My feet swelled. Maybe my legs swelled some. I didn't have my taste. Things that Molly cooked that I loved to eat, I couldn't understand to eat them. She makes delicious pork chops. And I tried, and I about tried to choke them down. I just couldn't. And it affects your taste. It affects all kinds of things in your body. And then the last thing it does is kill you. Well, I was doing what I thought the Lord would be all right with me doing. And I thought, here's the wife, and she knows what. Now I'm doing what she did. But it didn't work well. It almost put me in the ground. Last fall, as you some of them know, I went totally out driving up I-35, headed to see Sister Gertrude. I told Molly for 6 years I'd take her up there, and I'm real fast about some things, and I'd never gotten her there. And I said, all right, after the Wichita meeting, we'll go see Sister Gertrude, and we nearly all three got killed going. But the bottom line is, the Lord knows how to work with us if we keep our love. All right? In that time, there's times I couldn't do certain things. So I'd done a lot of reading. I was reading an old-time book from the print shop, and I took it with me to Florida and reading it down there and enjoying it. Got a lot of good out of it, but I left it down there. I called her and I said, I would like to have that book. She thought I was meaning something else, a magazine that I'd given her. I didn't make myself clear. She didn't understand. I don't know which one civil made. We didn't quite get on the right page. I wanted that book. Why? Because it was an old time stories of what people had gone through and how that the Lord had blessed in answers to prayer over and over and over. How he had dealt with souls. Some of them were lost. Some of them were saved. There were just a lot of rich things in there. And she said, I'm sorry, Carl. I don't know where it is. Carl found it. And I was rejoicing when I got my hands on it, too. I didn't wake anybody up that night, but I was sure happy I found it. About maybe 12, 1 o'clock in the morning before I found it. But it's right there in the spot, and I was looking to do something. And I opened a cabinet door, and there it was. Right there's my book. Now then, these things can help you to keep your first love. It can keep that first love fired up, so to speak. It can do things that there's some things you do that'll pull away from your first love, and there's other things you do that can help that first love. So, like I said, being in meeting, revival meetings, doing what the Lord asks you to do and different things will help that first love to stay warm and fresh. And the Lord say, thank you, child. I appreciate that. Thank you. I had somebody many years ago wanted me to come to see them. Well, they actually wanted me to come preach to them. I never could get it figured in my schedule how to get to them because they were a little bit out of the way. So I was praying one day, and the Lord just opened it up real clear to my mind what to do. So I got through praying. I jumped up and I went to the wife. I said, "Wife, I got it. I got it." She goes, "What do you got?" I told her. She said, "Let's go." That's what you want a companion to say. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's go. And that's why if you marry the right person, they will help you, bless you, and encourage you, and they'll help that first love to stay warm and fresh. And then that first love is going to help you with the other first love, and that's going to be a happy couple in your congregation, Brother Tavis, Brother Henry. You can say hallelujah. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers. I pray the Lord to bless Dallas richly. Because I'd like to come back maybe sometime, see you again. Thank you for your prayers.